Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hello, everybody, and this is Rick, and you're listening to the Fair Recovery Library and EMSO recovery calls, and also the EMS recovery calls. So today we have three questions, and let's move on to our questions. First, I have a question. I am the stepfather of my wife's five children from her previous marriage. For understandable reasons, they are all in pain and very angry with me because of my numerous affairs and the lies I've told to cover up the affairs. They do not want me to move back into the house, and they do not want their mom to see me or talk with me, and they want her to divorce me. We've been separated and not living together for the past 13 months. Their ages range from 17 to 25. My wife and I do not know what to do other than get them professional counseling. Even if we decide to stay married after we complete the affair recovery process, we still will not have the support of the children. What do you suggest? You know, children have such a hard time accepting this, and they're being protective of their mom, understandably, and I'm sure that the last thing you want to do is create any more pain for her. One of the places I think you begin is by making amends also to them. The hurt letter that we talk about in EMS is something that oftentimes is useful to help with that process. Just writing each of them a letter explaining what you did to hurt them and their mother, how you think they must be feeling, expressing just remorse over having done that to them, how you feel about yourself as a result of having done that, and giving them time to heal and helping them with that process. I think that in the long run, you've got to be able to say to them that, or she needs to be able to say to them, this is what she wants, but you have to also be consistent and not betray their trust. I think getting professional help is probably a good idea, and what you want to do is get into some sort of, I believe, family therapy where they can process their feelings. You're going to need to be able to explain to them why you think things would probably be different, but you don't need their permission also to go forward. You need to do what you need to do, but again, I think making amends to them is going to be huge. If you haven't already done that, that's really one of the places I would begin. And letting them know also the new boundaries and the things that you're putting in place to keep her safe as you go forward. How are you, because they just want to know, how is it going to be different? Why is it going to be different? And hopefully that will be enough to give them hope. And over time, if you're consistent and walking as you need to walk, they really will come to the place where they're able to accept it. But that's going to depend a lot on you. Just make sure you're consistent in protecting them. Next question. Could you describe what healing looks like for the betrayed spouse as well as the unfaithful spouse? Also, I'd like to know why there's always a two-year mark referred to when speaking about healing from affairs. I'm also wondering about the thoughts or memories of affairs. I realize you always have the thoughts and memories, but what happens after you're healed and much time has passed? Should you still be able to look back without being flooded with pain? Is there ever a time that you reach in your marriage that the topic of affairs is not an everyday occurrence? Thank you again for your help. And the answer to that is absolutely. So for the betrayed spouse, ultimately you come to a place where you ask yourself the question, is this helping me move forward? I mean, you've got to take responsibility for your own healing and deciding what brings life to you and the things that ultimately bring death. You have to take responsibility for that. You're responsible for you, just like your mate's responsible for themselves. My mate's never my problem. My mate only reveals the problem in me. So for you, determining what's going to be healthy and loving, how you want to be as you move forward, is really important. And then beginning to eliminate those behaviors, that going back over and over again, once you get your mind around what occurred, there's not a lot of benefit in going back over and over again. And you have to begin to ask myself, what benefit is there in continuing to talk about this? I understand it. Why am I still talking about it? And beginning to determine maybe what the secondary gain is that's keeping you stuck at that point, because at some point you want to say, look, I want a new life. And if you see change in your mate and you know that they're trying to be safe, there's no reason for you not to let that go and try to begin moving forward. The reason I always refer to the two-year mark is that normally people continue having those intrusive thoughts up to about 2 years. At the one-year anniversary, the intrusive thoughts are usually pretty bad. There's a continued, I think, strain that happens even as you go back through that second year. But typically at about 18 to 24 months, the frequency of those thoughts begins to really decrease. So you're not thinking about it all the time. And so you're not having to fight that battle of choosing not to go there. So the thoughts and the memories eventually fade. Usually by 5 years, most couples are able to laugh about it. And I know that's not something that you can even probably comprehend at this point. You don't always, you said, I realize you always have the thoughts and memories. I would disagree. I've been telling the story that Stephanie did something funny recently where a woman was telling her about somebody else who was going through this. And Stephanie's first comment was, man, I can't even imagine what that would be like. And then her friend said, well, of course you can imagine. And she went, oh, yeah, I can. But, you know, she's so far beyond it that it didn't even occur to her that she's been in the same situation. And you get to that place eventually. Yes, you can definitely look back without being flooded or with the pain. And usually that's long, you know, hopefully by about 3 years. 2 to 3 years, you can look back and it's not, the pain isn't there or nowhere nearly as the same. By 5 years, like I said, most people laugh about it. Now, if you're still feeling the exact same pain at 2 years or 2.5 years, then you're probably dealing with something like post-traumatic stress disorder and you may need some additional help to address that. Is there ever a time when you reach your marriage where the topic of affairs is not an everyday occurrence? Absolutely. In fact, you want to begin to get to that point, hopefully even before a year is up. I hope by 6 to 9 months, you don't talk about it every day. You might still, but certainly during the second year, the frequency of the topic fades, and you'll find you have days that you don't even think about it, which is kind of an amazing thing after time. So don't be discouraged. It does come, and there is healing, and I think you'll find that, again, once you get past that 18-month point, that things will begin to shift for you, and you'll have other things to look at besides that affair. So for our third question today, my unfaithful spouse and I have been in recovery for about 3 years. I still have very low, if any, sexual desire or drive. Before recovery, sexual desire was present, but I believe I was interested because my mate was not. Sex and drama have always been connected in my past. I've read books such as Restoring the Pleasure, The Passionate Marriage, Mating in Captivity. Nothing seems to have completely helped. I thought that as I gained back trust and respect for him and matured personally, thanks to recovery, the desire would come eventually. It's not happened. It's discouraging. I have sex anyways, but not for me. Sadly, I know if I was to have sex with someone else, that desire would be present. We do have a preschooler, and I am an adult child of an alcoholic. The only two reasons I can think of that I may still be having an issue. So the first thing I would say is please be patient with yourself. Couples don't begin to reach their sexual potential until they've been married 30 plus years. That's a long time. 3 years in recovery, you know, obviously is not a whole lot. You're going to find as time goes on, the healing continues. You continue moving forward and maturing and finding new reasons. Obviously, doing some therapy for the two of you, continuing to have new understandings and beliefs about why someone is sexual is something that's going to be helpful. Preschoolers certainly are a drain on desire, simply because most people with preschoolers, most moms end up being pretty doggone tired. And, you know, I think there are seasons in life when it's really hard. You know, one of the things I would wonder is, if you travel and you're away from home and the two of you have more time, if you find that desire actually increases at that point to some extent, where it can just be the two of you and you can have fun. But the main thing I would say is, it's going to take patience for all that to turn around. You've got years of programming one direction, and it's not going to change simply in a couple of years. It will change. So be patient with you and your need to talk. Like I said, you know, get in counseling courses, continue to read. Eventually you'll find, I think, new motivations. And don't guard on yourself. Pressure yourself. A desire killer. Telling myself I've enough, or I should be doing more, I should be doing better. Whenever you can sit there and just be patient with yourself, I think you'll find that something begin to develop. But be kind to yourself. So with that being said, of our question, I hope it was a great 4th of July. And thank you for all the questions, and I look forward to talking with you guys next Monday to healing.